life of worldly passions. Deliver me, O God, from the need to be understood, from the need to be accepted, from the fear of being lonely. Deliver me, O God. Deliver me, O God. And I shall not want, no, I shall not want, when I taste your goodness, I shall not want, when I taste your goodness, I shall not want. From the fear of serving others, from the fear of death or trial, from the fear of humility.
What a blessing. Thank you, ladies. We're privileged to have you here with us. I know you're kind of part of our church family now, and so we're certainly glad, Allie and Molly, for sharing. We appreciate that. What a wonderful way to start our service. I welcome each of you in the name of Jesus Christ to our service this morning. We've had opportunity in our classes and early worship to begin focusing on what the Lord would have to share with us this day. And my prayer and hope and the planning that's been made that we will be blessed before we leave here this hour. I'd like to share in your hearing a couple of scriptures from Jacob 2, beginning in verse 48. But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind. Pray unto him with exceeding faith, and he will console you in your afflictions, and he will plead your cause and send down justice upon all those who seek your destruction. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God and feast upon his love, for ye may, if your minds are firm, forever. And then a familiar Psalm from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I hope and pray that as we have met this day, that our worship will be fruitful, that each one who's here will be blessed. We're going to use hymn number 32. I spent a lot of time this week in the garden and getting it ready, and did some planting the last couple days, and looking forward to so I, when I was selecting hymns, I thought, that's a good one to start with. In the Garden, hymn number 32. Father, what a privilege, Father, it is to be here with these my brothers and sisters to this place that we've gathered to and set apart to worship you, Father. I thank you for each of these my brothers and sisters, for they are special to me. I am thankful that we have gathered this day to worship you, Father, to draw closer to you, to learn more of your ways. We thank you for that spirit that has been here. We would ask that spirit would continue to even grow within our hearts, that each of us might be fed as only you can do through your Spirit. So, Father, I'd ask a blessing on each one who's come. I'd ask a blessing for each of us who has accepted responsibilities for ministry. We thank you for this opportunity. I pray especially for my brother Jeff, as add to the preparation that he's made, that those words he would share might be uplifting and even challenging to each of us to examine ourselves in the preparation we're making to return to you. For we know that we can only do so if we come clean before you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his precious name that we seek these blessings. For we know if we pray in his name, you will respond. Thank you for this opportunity. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. For the offertory today, I'm going to be reading out of the Doctrine and Covenants. So if you have your scriptures, you can turn to section 58, starting with 6D. And it says, "Verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves. And inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward. But he that doeth not anything until he is commanded, and receiveth a commandment with doubtful heart, and keepeth it with slothfulness, the same is damned." And I want to, as I was reading this, the word engaged stood out to me. And many times I don't think we realize that words have more profound meaning than sometimes we just pass over them quickly. We think we really understand them, but I had to really look it up and went through a few things and found exactly what I was looking for and what I felt the Lord was showing me. And we hear that saying, a fully engaged employee, right? And a fully engaged employee will feel a sense of purpose in the work they do, with an understanding that their work is valued and has a real impact. This makes them more enthusiastic about what they do, and they do this through a strong commitment to their work by performing well. One little word kind of shows us a little bit more of an understanding. And how many of us want to feel that? Especially in the things that we do for the church. And in Matthew 25, 18 and 19. Hopefully I don't overstep. Matthew 25, 18 and 19. "But he who had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckoned with them." And then going to 24. "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou wert a hard man, reaping where thou hast thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not scattered. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. And lo,
here's my talent. Take it from me as thou hast from thine other servants, for it is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, O wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not scattered. Having known this, therefore, thou ought to have put my money to the exchangers at my coming, and I should have received my own with usury. And I will take therefore the talent from you and give it to him who had 10 talents. For unto every one who hath other talents shall be given, and he shall have in abundance. But from him that hath not obtained other talents shall be taken away even that which he hath received. And his Lord shall say unto his servant, Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And I share that because I think a lot of times we don't realize how important it is. And this, the things that we've been given are a commandment that we need to grow them or use them to the best of our abilities and be engaged. And Amy and I, one of the things that kind of brought us to this congregation is one of their bylaws is common consent. And I have no doubt that this church wouldn't be in the trouble that it's in if common consent would have been prevalent in all the branches. And it makes me more apt to give as the Lord commanded. So as we ponder upon those things that the Lord has given us and strive to find out what his will is for us in our efforts and our talents to grow them, may we focus on that and be engaged, anxiously engaged in good causes for the betterment of the kingdom that we so desire. For those who are taking up the offering, please come forward. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for all the gifts and the talents that you've given each and every one of us. And some you've given many and some you've given few. But we know, Father, that there is a promise that if we would take the things that you've given us and be engaged in a good cause, that we will be filled even with an abundance of gifts and talents. I pray, Father, a blessing upon the monies that are given this day, that it will be used to benefit the kingdom, that you would consecrate the efforts to the betterment of our souls. And these things we pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
I apologize to my son-in-law for not introducing him. He is a man who is was introduced to me back in older youth camps, I think, and RCM and so forth, and he's been a wonderful addition to our family. But I recognize some of you don't know him as well as I do. So Brother Jeff comes from the Colburn Road branch, an elder, and we're looking forward to the ministry he would bring.
It's a joy to be with you today and bring you greetings from Colburn Road. And I'm sure Brennan and Molly and some of those others that are also there would extend the same greetings, and my family. It's a joy to be with you, and so many of you, I've received so much ministry from you over the years, and you've really helped to give me a foundation in this gospel. So it's a joy to be able to share together with you now today. Read a scripture from Doctrine and Covenants 45, and it's going to be 1C through E. Listen to him who is the advocate with the Father, who is pleading your case before him, saying, Father, behold the sufferings and death of him who did no sin, in whom thou wast well pleased. Behold the blood of thy Son, which was shed, the blood of him who thou gavest, that thyself might be glorified. Wherefore, Father, spare these my brethren that believe on my name, that they may come unto me and have everlasting life. And from Doctrine and Covenants 3, verse 15, and I will show unto this people that I have, 315e, sorry about that. Therefore I will unfold unto them this great mystery, for behold, I will gather them as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, if they will not harden their hearts. Yea, if they will come, they may, and partake of the waters of life freely.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know my Redeemer lives, I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies, this life within me cries, I know. He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken. They conquer death to bring me victory.
Thank you so much for that ministry of music. That was really beautiful. And, you know, I've just already been blessed so much today to be with you through class and worship and the songs. The Lord's blessed me already, and I'm sure you each feel that way. We'll trust that the Lord will continue to speak to you through his spirit today, and that I might be able to add something to that ministry as well. I know that my Redeemer lives. Jesus has done so much for us. When we were so undeserving to receive of his beauty and his precious blood, the things that he paid to open the way for us to come back, so much more than the worth of my poor soul. But in his love for us, he gave those things so freely. My soul cried out when they sang, "Deliver me." Oh, that he would deliver us from the bondage we were under, and I know that he would if we would allow it. But for some reason we love our sin too much, and there's still those things that beset us. Deborah had a dream when several years ago, and in this dream she entered a building, and it was maybe like a mall or something. She didn't know exactly, but a large building. And she went in, the doors locked behind her, and there were several people in there, and everything was dark. And as they kind of got their bearings and looked around, they were able to kind of feel and find that there were the doors behind them that had locked them in, and then there was a steep incline before them. And they knew somehow that they needed to go up that incline. And so they tried to start climbing, and she started climbing, and the surface was very slick, and it just kept sliding down. And you know, it didn't matter what you did, if you tried to walk or get a good angle or use your hands and your feet to climb up, just kept sliding back down. But they knew they needed to ascend somehow, and so they kept trying. And as she was growing weary and exhausted from trying to climb, and she tried again, a hand was extended to her, and she reached out and took that hand, and she knew that was the hand of Christ. And with his help, she was able to move up that incline and to leave that place. And I share that. I think there are a lot of things we can take from that experience that she was given. How many times have we felt that we have just been backsliding, either in our own lives or in the life of the church, that as much as we try, we seem to not be able to make too much ground. And it really does come down to us being able to reach out to that hand that's extended to us, that hand that is marked with a nail print that reminds us that he has already overcome. He's already overcome this world. He's already overcome that we have a way to make it back to the Father. And in Jesus, there is great hope for us to be delivered. In the book of Ether, chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness." I want to talk about those things today a little bit. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith. As I think about faith, I was thinking about the Israelites, and as they were being delivered from Egypt in Numbers 21, it wasn't just always easy on that road. Numbers 21, 4 through 5, it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake again against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." So the way was hard, and they became discouraged. And, you know, sometimes I think as we walk through trials and tribulations in our lives, we can become discouraged. I remember going on vacation as a child with my brother and my family, and we would pile in the car with my grandma, Nadine, and Dad would drive, and we'd go on a two-week vacation, usually to Colorado, although we went a few other places, but we loved going to Colorado, and we'd camp for the whole trip. And as we'd go, we would, for the most part of the driving, have lunch meat sandwiches and chips in the car. Well, that was pretty great the first day, But as we continued, and that was the meal over and over again, we kind of got tired of that meal. And I don't know how that compares to the light bread that the Lord provided, the manna. I mean, maybe it sounds appealing that for 40 years, you didn't have to cook. The Lord provided it. But they grew tired of what he had provided and complained against those things, even though he was meeting their needs. And sometimes, as we're walking through our trials, I think we find ourselves there. And because they were complaining, or in the midst of them complaining, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord didn't take away the serpents, did he? It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. So the serpents weren't taken away, but they were given a way to be delivered from death. To look upon that serpent, the deliverer of poison that when it bit them, injected that which would bring death, and set it on upon a pole, resembles Jesus. Jesus took our sin and our death upon the cross, and if we will look to him through our trials, if we will look to him through those times that grow hard, he will deliver us. So our tension's got to be kind of reset sometimes. We were going through, I guess, a season that for me felt very trying several months ago. And I guess maybe it was even a year ago now. I had a project at work that was a bad project. I had kind of been placed in a situation that it was beyond my comfort range for sure, and had some big challenges that I didn't know how to get through, and I was concerned for our client because they were really in a bad situation with the site that they had. I was concerned for our company because I felt like we were going to put them at risk, and I was kind of concerned for the end users because I thought maybe they might be damaged somehow by the situation. It was building over the top of an old mine, 100-year-old mine, and we didn't know how much the site might fall. So I was, none of those details matter, but it was stressing me, and I don't know why those things stress us, you know, when we have an eternal perspective and we can look up. None of that stuff really matters. But I still get stressed for some reason when I go through those things, and that was going on, and Noah was going through some trials with his knee injury, and it was hard to see him broken. As a father, and to really not be able to help,
And I think life just felt heavy, and I was supposed to preach, and the topic was peace. I didn't feel like I had any peace. And I was struggling with that, and I went to prayer service one night, and the Lord said, whether I provide manna or milk and honey, I always provide. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I pondered on that and thought about it. And I knew that he always did provide. And as I've thought about it, prayed about it, it seems like, you know, sometimes the Lord, what he's providing for us, it's not really what we want or what we're praying for. We might pray that, hey, these things just be taken away. Take away the serpents. Take away the problems. Take away the trials. Take away the hurt. Take away the things that we're walking through. Just make it all better. We know you can do that. We have faith that you can do that. And he provides in a different way. He provides manna in some of those settings. Enough to sustain us. Enough to carry us through. If we will exercise our faith in him through those times. And he's got something better for us on the other side. He's got milk and honey waiting. But there's a time we might have to walk through that we eat manna for a while. So we look to him and we exercise our faith. In Mark is recorded the experience of the disciples as they're on the boat with Jesus. And the storm arises, and they feel pretty concerned about what's going on. And you remember they're on the boat, and Jesus says, he tells them where they're going. We're going to the other side. And then he goes to sleep. And they're riding across the sea there. And the storm arises. And the winds are blowing. And they think they're going to die. Even though Jesus is on the boat with them. They can't. All they can see is the wind and the tempest there. And they think, this is the end. And so they wake him up and say, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care? And he speaks to the storm and says, peace, be still. And everything calms down and they're spared. And they marvel that he's able to command the storm. We sometimes, through our trials, have trouble finding this peace. But if our faith is grounded in the Prince of Peace, and if our eyes are set on him, we're able to weather those storms and to move through those experiences with our faith unshaken. And as we experience those things, then we gain a hope in him, because he's brought us through so much. He's brought us through trials, and we have that testimony within us. And we can share that testimony of who he is and what he's able to do. And that brings hope. Hope that he will be able to deliver us. Hope that he will be able to finish the work that he's begun in us as we covenanted with him in the waters of baptism, and hope that all the promises that he has made in his word to bring about his kingdom will be fulfilled. Be fulfilled in our lives, in our congregation, in our community. It would grow and grow and fill the earth. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This love of God, the pure love of God, charity, is something we must have in our lives. And I think there is a call going forth from the Lord that I have felt, the call from Doctrine Covenants 28:2d, wherefore the decree hath gone forth from the Father, that they shall be gathered in unto one place upon the face of this land, to prepare their hearts and be prepared in all things against the day when tribulation and desolation are sent forth upon the wicked. For the hour is nigh, and the day is soon at hand, when the earth is ripe, and all the proud and they that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And I will burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that wickedness shall not be upon the earth. A day, we believe, is coming. We believe it's coming soon. And for us to be prepared, we talk a lot about being prepared. It says that we need to be prepared in our hearts and prepared in all things. And I think to be prepared in our hearts, we need to have this charity, this love of God. Love for Him, that we'd be willing to lay down all of our sins to follow Him. And a love for our brothers and sisters, that we'd be willing to give everything for their good. I wonder if a lot of the problems that we have right now wouldn't be solved if we had this love, or might never have been there. I have this small glimpse of a greater love that I want to have in my life, that I want the Lord to be able to give to me, to abide in me. And I've read about it in the scriptures, and I have seen it from time to time in the lives of those around me. I've seen it somewhat in the life of my grandmother, Grandma Jean. I don't think she ever had a bad thought towards anyone. If my cousins and I would get in some kind of little argument, or my brother, she would always so lovingly come and just corral us. And she never really disciplined us. She just loved us and said, you don't want to say those things, or you don't want to, you know. It was in a way that just made you feel so, it's like getting a big hug from her, I guess. You know, she was stopping what we were doing, but it was in such a way that just brought us closer to her, I guess. Sometimes when we discipline, our children have a tendency, I have a tendency, to rebel against that, or to defend myself, or to say, you know, well, this is what I was thinking. This is why I was doing what I was doing. I'm justified. And we're never justified.
But when she would do it in that way, you didn't feel like you had to stand up for yourself. You could just kind of fall into that hug and that embrace. What if we, with our brothers and sisters, were willing to show that love in such a way that when they go astray, or as we go astray, that we could lay down all our pride and just show them how loved and cherished they are, to go out of our way to continue loving them the way Christ did. I think there's a way to do that that I probably don't fully have a vision for, but I pray the Lord will continue to reveal that to me. And I hope that at some point that love will dwell in my heart, that it'll fill every part of my heart in a way that a lot of the sins and the things that come out of my life right now would be melted away and changed, and I might no longer have a desire to sin because of my love for my Savior. John 3, 2 through 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That scripture in Ether said that if we would have faith, hope, and charity, that it would bring about a fountain of righteousness, bring us unto that fountain of righteousness in our lives. And Moroni had seen the Gentiles, and he was writing in Ether 5, 34 and 36, and he said, "Now I know that this love which thou hast had for the children of men is charity. Wherefore, except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit the place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. Wherefore, I know by this thing which thou hast said, that if the Gentiles have not charity because of our weakness, that thou wilt prove them and take away their talent, yea, even that which they have received, and give unto them who shall have more abundantly. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord that he would give unto the Gentiles grace, that they might have charity." Certainly something we need so much in this day and age, and in these last days that are before us. I hope, brothers and sisters, that in the trials that you're facing now, and in those that tribulations that may come upon us, that we are able to keep these things in mind and able to persevere and to look to our Heavenly Father to guide us through and carry us into those fulfillments of His promises when He will return and establish his kingdom and reign. And I'd like to just close with a scripture from Moroni 8:29. "And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments. and the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart, and because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. That's my prayer for us today. May God bless you.
Thank you.
This morning. We have been blessed with the ministry of music. We have been blessed with the ministry of the spoken word. We have been blessed with the power of your Spirit with us. And so, Father, we rejoice in the fact that you are aware of all of your children. And you stoop to our weakness and you minister to our needs. And so as we go from this place, Father, we ask that your Spirit might go with us, that it would go before us and it would be our rearward, that whatsoever we do, we might do in your name, and that you would bless those efforts as we seek to build up your kingdom here on this earth. And above all, Father, bless us with that charity, that pure love of Christ, that which we do and say and think may be governed by that rule, even that love, even of the Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.